Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're cracking open a really fascinating piece of provincial law. It's the Western Cape Provincial Languages Act, No. 13, from 1998.
It's such a great case study in how a government tries to legislate something as complex as language.
Exactly. And our mission today is really to understand how this one document tries to do two, well, just enormous things at the same time.
It's a real balancing act.
On one hand, you have establishing formal equality between the region's three official languages.
And on the other, you have the much more difficult goal of trying to address these really deep historical wrongs.
The ones that came from the language policies of the past.
That's the core of it. I mean, on the surface, the act is about regulating the use of Afrikaans, English, and isiXhosa.
Okay, big three.
Right, making sure they have equal status in government. But the real challenge in the text is that second mandate to actively elevate the status of indigenous languages.
Who knows that we're systematically diminished?
Exactly, to bring about some genuine linguistic justice.
Okay, so let's unpack that. That first goal, equal status. It sounds great, but it must be a huge administrative lift.
Oh, it is.
What does that even look like in practice, say, in the provincial parliament?
It's extremely rigorous. In parliament, any of the three official languages can be used in a debate.
Any of them?
Yes. And here's the critical part. The government must provide interpreting services for every single sitting. It's not optional.
So it's a non-negotiable right for the representatives.
Absolutely. And that extends beyond just spoken words, too.
I was going to ask, all the official documents?
All of them. Legislation, reports, resolutions, they all have to be made available in all three languages.
The logistics of that alone, I mean, you have to wonder about the cost and staffing for that level of translation.
It's a foundational part of the policy, and that accessibility has to extend directly to the public.
How so?
Every official notice the government issues has to be in Afrikaans, English, and isiXhosa. But the biggest right for the citizen is this. You get to choose which of the three languages you use when you deal with a provincial institution.
And they have to serve you in that language.
They have to serve you in the most appropriate language based on your needs. It's your legal right.
Wow. Okay, so that level of responsiveness, it requires a dedicated body to make sure it all happens.
It does. And that brings us to the engine room of the act, really. The Western Cape Language Committee.
Right. It was established by this legislation.
And what's so fascinating is how they structured it. It has up to 11 non-full-time members.
Okay.
And most of them are there to be representative of the three main language groups based on mother tongue numbers.
So it's proportional.
Mostly. But, and this is so important, the act specifically says at least one member must be there to represent the previously marginalized indigenous languages.
Ah, so that corrective mission is baked right into the committee's structure. That's not just a gesture, is it?
It's a statement. It signals that the committee's job is much bigger than just monitoring the big three.
They're not just referees, then?
Not at all. They are explicitly mandated to actively promote multilingualism across the whole province. And here's the kicker. They must actively promote the development of those marginalized languages.
So they're supposed to be builders.
Yes. The committee isn't just a bureaucracy. It has investigative powers. It can advise any government body. It can advise any government body. It can kick off studies to promote respect for language rights. It's an active agent for change.
So if we pull this all together, what you have is this clear legislative push for equality in how government runs day to day.
A huge step in itself.
A huge step. Citizens can be served in their language of choice. But the real ambition, the real forward-looking part, is vested in this language committee.
Giving it the power and the unique structure to actively build up the languages that history tried to leave behind.
So much to think about there.
And here's a final thought to leave you with. Implementing this act requires this constant balancing act, right?
Between the practical and the proactive.
Exactly. You've got the practical demands of running a trilingual administration, which is a massive job.
Massive job.
And then you have this other mission to develop languages that might lack infrastructure, like textbooks or official dictionaries. So the question becomes, how does a government actually fund that? How do you staff it? And maybe the hardest question of all, what would success for that mandate even look like? Something to really chew on.